Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Just want to give some love to some of our listeners participating in our discussion via the text line. John from Madison, Mark from the SAC, Cam from Appleton, Dave from New Berlin. Thanks, gentlemen. I have been joined for this past half hour, and he has been gracious enough to stick with all of us. Chief Economist from the Center on Budget and Policy, Dr. Benga Ajilore. He's been on the show a number of times. We always have these, I hope, really helpful discussions for all of you great listeners. We've been basically decoding, translating the Walmart CEO's last earnings call, which just happened yesterday. The upshot of it is, hey, we've been all right at, you know, creative financial statement management and absorbing some of the increasing prices, but more of it's going to get passed on to consumers, and lower and middle income consumers will probably feel the pinch the most. We have no idea where it's all ending up, but don't worry, we've stockpiled inventory. We will change what we stock on the shelves in order to keep our profits up and our shareholders happy. It's what it is. If this is what's happening with the largest retailer in the world, it's got to be causing pain for small and medium-sized businesses across this state and beyond, as well as family farms, part of the backbone of the economy in Wisconsin. I would argue that small and medium-sized businesses, including manufacturers, as well as family farms and larger farms, are the Wisconsin economy. And Dr. Ajilore, before the break, we were talking about relating for folks. And let's just start with people getting ready for back to school and as we roll into the holidays. What does the earnings call and the portions of it that we've been listening to speak first to just an average consumer, an average shopper at Walmart? Because so many of our listeners, I shop at Walmart. What can folks be expecting to see perhaps changing in their local Walmarts over the next 6 months?
So simply, you're just going to see higher prices. Now, some prices are going to be much higher, and some of them are going to be a little bit lower, depending on, as we heard from the earnings call, they're going to be able to try to shift that mix. But I think I want to take a little step back.
Sure.
Because when we talk about tariffs, there's so much news going on literally every day. Like in the last hour, Trump announced that he's going to put tariffs on furniture. So, I mean, that's just, the way to think about tariffs is that they're a tax on goods that we buy that just from other countries. In January 2025, this rate was 2.5%. Now it's 18.6%. So we've seen a ninefold increase in the rate of taxes on a lot of goods. So that's why over the next 6 months, we're going to see higher prices. And the way I think about this is right now it's back to school season. And so we're going to see higher prices on like index cards, binders, folders. We think about, you know, you have kids who are growing, so you have to buy new clothes. Price is going to go up. And so the way to think about this is just like, okay, what is it that we have to prioritize? Like, what do we have to spend on now? And what purchase can we wait in October, November, December?
Right.
Because all across the board, prices are going to go up.
There's one other thing that I think consumers can nearly certainly expect to see at Walmart is, did you have a favorite particular brand of something and all of a sudden that's not there? Were you used to seeing a product that you love being promoted in the like Walmart rollbacks where they actually roll prices down from what the list price, and all of a sudden you don't see that product ever anymore promoted through a rollback? You're going to see some shifting. Maybe a particular brand of product disappears entirely. That's part of that product mix management. And when you pair product mix management, meaning, well, this supplier has a tariff applied to it, so we're going to dump that supplier and we're going to go to this different supplier, hence you see a different brand. Or if they identify that there is a particular product or brand that consumers seem to not reduce their buying as high as the price goes, they may shift the mix that way, or raise prices even more on products where demand stays fairly steady to make up for smaller margins on other products. When you are a retailer that sells such a broad range of products, as is Walmart, you can engage in some of those financial, it's almost like gamesmanship. If you know you got to hit an overall margin of X throughout your entire product mix, well, you can maneuver around that. Again, I think, folks, it's not just higher prices, but you'll see some different mix of stuff on the shelves. Walmart also in that earnings call, and it's a little in the weeds, they talk about using the rollback very strategically to keep customers engaged. So, you know, they may be lowering prices or promising the rollback on a different product or a different set of products, but you're going to see those prices going up on some other things. So they're going to be creative to try to keep people in those aisles and shopping. But again, the overall picture is stuff's going to be more expensive, and it might not be the stuff that you're exactly looking for. Anything that I got wrong there, Dr. Angelori?
No, you did a great job with that, because I think about, you know, I personally like orange marmalade. And there was a time when they actually like didn't have it when prices were going up during inflation. And then also there's quality difference between like the major brand and the store brand. So in my head, I'm thinking my orange marmalade that I usually get might be not there, or it's might be the other one that's lower quality.
That is different product mix. And maybe you only see grape jelly and you like all those stuff. Because I like that little orange marmalade with like the blue plaid top on it. And sometimes I can't find that because they import that stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And those are the sorts of things that it'll show up in a very real way for customers. And I think, you know, whether I'm talking to folks like yourself, Dr. Angelori, or folks that advocate for small and startup businesses, they talk about flexibility. Walmart has the most of any retailer on the planet. It's their bargaining power, their leverage with suppliers. They can go to any new supplier they want because everybody wants to sell their stuff to Walmart, right? They have a diverse product line, so they can engage in the sort of gamesmanship about products where there are shrinking margins versus products with inelastic demand curves and increasing margins. They can do that stuff. That sort of economy, and they can buy inventory ahead and warehouse it, all those sorts of things. Dr. Angelori, let's start connecting the dots between what that earnings, so we talked about what that earnings calls meant for just regular families in Wisconsin and what they can expect to see in a Walmart. Now let's talk about what does that earnings call mean when you are a smaller business or a medium-sized business, and then I want to get into what's going on with our family farmers. What does that call portend for small and medium and growing businesses in Wisconsin?
So with these small, medium-sized businesses, they, to the point that you made, they don't have that flexibility. There's no product mix. There's no flexibility. There's no looking at your other businesses to try to do that. You have the suppliers that you work with, and then they have, and you have to have the countries that you import supplies from, because one of the things about tariffs, this is not on final goods. This is on everything. This is on, and we'll get to it when we talk about the farmers, but steel, aluminum, all these inputs that go into business. And so that's costs are going up. And you just have to eat that cost. And, you know, a lot of these small, medium-sized businesses, they weren't able to build up their inventories in February, March, April to be able to kind of weather the storm. They were taking a hit immediately that when the tariffs hit. And so this is continuing. And so for these small, medium-sized businesses, they don't have the luxury that Walmart has. And because this tariff scheme and tariff regime is continuing, it's just putting them behind the eight ball.
And we add to that, we've certainly talked about this on the program, that because of the fact there is no articulated goal or off-ramp, there's no triggering, like, what's the simpler way to say this? Donald Trump has not articulated a specific goal that can, once achieved, will then lead to rollbacks of the tariffs. So that makes the uncertainty even greater, as well as the timeline on the uncertainty. Nobody knows what the purpose is. And even if we did know, how do you even prognosticate how long that's going to take? And the uncertainty about that makes it even harder for small and medium-sized businesses. Listen, if Walmart CEO is talking about we await resolution across our larger import markets, and as I understand it, Walmart only imports about like 30 to 35% of the stuff, either on an input basis or a final good basis, that they turn around and sell. If Walmart is having problems doing fiscal projections and planning because they need, quote, resolution across our larger import markets, small and medium-sized businesses are getting crushed. So with that, turning to agriculture and farming in the state of Wisconsin, Dr. Edgelori, what does the future look like, and how is Donald Trump making it either better or worse for smaller farmers in states like Wisconsin?
So I'd mentioned, we had the steel, aluminum tariffs. There have been tariffs since the February, March that's been impacting farmers. And so also fertilizer, herbicide, feed. So all those costs have been going up. And we've seen the impact on it. You know, we talked about the earnings calls about Walmart, but Caterpillar, John Deere, yes, they had their earnings call and they were losing millions of dollars. I just saw yesterday or today, John Deere is going to have layoffs of like 200 people. And this is in Illinois and Iowa. And this is like just going to be the start, because to your point, there's no articulated end goal. So we don't know how long this is going to last. And so that's what we have to worry about for the farmers. But then that's just on the cost side. There's the resolution on the other countries. Well, they're putting tariffs. They're spending less money, It's like the export economy is down. And so we have like exports are down, costs are up. And one thing that we haven't even talked about is the master deportation. So we think about the workforce and so the migrants. And so like you're losing all that. So you have exports going down, costs going up, and you're losing your workforce. And there's no end in sight. And so farmers are getting hit from all ends.
Yeah, it's like the Bermuda Triangle for smaller and even medium-sized corporate farms, with the exports going down because of retaliatory tariffs. Again, as you said, input costs and costs going up, and then a workforce problem. Boy, kind of a bleak outlook. It's interesting to me. I just want to say this big bull market response today from Jerome Powell's head faint towards potentially an interest rate reduction. What do you make of folks tying their opinion of the economy to what the stock market itself is doing? Is that a safe proxy for overall economic wellness in the United States?
No, everyone says stock market is not the economy, and it's the economy for very few people. But for the rest of us, we have to look at what's happening at the grocery store, what's happening with our job, what's happening, what's in the general economy. And so stock market is never a good prognosticator of the economy.
Folks, that is my friend and now yours, Dr. Benga Edgelori. We help translate economic speak gobbledygook into just regular pragmatic language that helps you and your family and your businesses plan for the future. I can't wait to have you back, Benga. Have a wonderful weekend, my friend.
You too, and I can't wait to be back too. Thank you.
Awesome. We missed Ask Maggie this week. We'll be back with it next week, but stay tuned because Terry Barr joins me for this week's installment of What's Good, Local, and Overlooked in Wisconsin. We'll be back right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.